From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall.
And I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov.
All right, Annette, it's almost noon.
Yeah.
I think I'd like some coffee.
Oh, well, yeah. There are a whole bunch of places to choose from, Shai.
So, oh, Annette, yeah? We recently took a little field trip to get some coffee, as I often do. And we went over to Dilworth Park, which is apparently the land of coffee.
The coffee district.
It's the coffee district, right.
There's a coffee shop in the park.
Yep, that is
the
ubiquitous Starbucks sign inside the Dilworth Cafe.
Another one across the street.
We're crossing the street away from Dilworth, and here we are at another coffee shop. We're at La Colombe.
And there's this other coffee shop called Parliament.
There it is. Oh. It's right across the street.
And now there's going to be a second coffee shop right in the park.
Okay, so if I'm not mistaken, this is right. So there's a picture of it.
Oh, yeah.
This is where the cafe is going to go. Look, it says Starbucks coffee right there.
It sure does.
And this is where the new Starbucks is going to be. And apparently it's got a lot of people upset.
Right. And not really because it's so close to these other coffee shops. That's a little weird. But it's really because Dilworth Park is public land.
But as reporter Ryan Briggs of Plan Philly told us, the park is operated by a nonprofit called Center City District, which more and more has been finding ways to generate revenue using the park space as well as other city-owned areas it maintains.
Why is it allowed to do that? And are city residents in on the process?
Today on The Why, are Philly's parks still public?
New tonight, the Center City District is celebrating its 25th anniversary.
Hundreds came out for a special dinner at Dilworth Park right beside City Hall. It's hard to miss Center City District employees around the city. They work very hard to keep Philly clean and safe, an attractive destination for tourists.
So, Ryan, what is the Center City District?
The Center City District is a privately run nonprofit that was created in 1991. You had had the city essentially on the verge of bankruptcy, and I think there was a push to come up with sort of alternatives to provide some of those basic quality of life services that you had seen in the past.
So who runs Center City District today?
The Center City District has been run for 30 years by a man named Paul Levy. He's been there since the beginning.
The city was wrestling with the inability to do street cleaning and sidewalk cleaning across the entire city. And when the Center City District was first formed, it was just around the issue of clean and safe. That is, the city simply didn't have the resources to be cleaning the downtown with the frequency to be dealing with graffiti removal. So we're in the business and have been for a long time of supplementing city services.
Ryan, where did the Center City District get its funding from?
So the way that the Center City District was providing a lot of these services was essentially an arrangement where they were getting a portion of the tax revenue that was realized on downtown landlords. And that's everyone from, Comcast that owns a building downtown or someone who owns an apartment complex. And they are, in effect, benefiting from some of these operations, benefiting from the additional services that the district's providing downtown. What started to change was in the 2000s.
There was a very deteriorated park on the 1600 block of the parkway. And like many parks that the city had in Center City, it simply didn't have the resources to maintain them. And they asked us if we could come in and make a certain set of improvements there.
And the way that they began to pay for some of those operations was by creating small cafes in the parks themselves.
And so our very first park was where Cafe Cray is.
Which served sort of a dual purpose, right? They would bring people to the parkland, and they also would create something of a revenue stream that would then pay for the additional amenities that you saw in the parks.
So they started leasing out the space, this public space, right?
That was essentially the arrangement that they created with City Hall, right? So City Hall is saying, hey, you know, you're taking this off of our hands, right? We don't have to pay for this anymore. And Center City District is saying, you know, we can not only pay for this stuff, but we can also attract more people by building a cafe. In 2014, there was a big push to redo a much larger public space that was next door to City Hall. And that was Dilworth Plaza, which is a 1970s era kind of, you know, concrete, brutalist expanse that was not...
very inviting.
Yeah, it was not regarded as very inviting.
Dilworth Plaza will be a destination in Philadelphia. It will be a place where people want to meet, they'll want to congregate, they'll want to go to the cafe, or literally just kind of sit out and enjoy the sights and sounds of Philadelphia.
And Center City District specifically gets involved with the operations of the park because there is an idea that without having a stakeholder involved after this redevelopment is completed, that the park could lapse back into a dilapidated state.
What was very clear is we needed a way both to improve the park and then maintain it at a high level.
Somebody needs to be keeping up with security, that somebody needs to be keeping up with cleaning.
So in the arrangement with the city, we took on all responsibilities for cleaning, security, landscape maintenance, systems maintenance, graffiti removal. Anything that had been a city operating expense is no longer in the city's budget.
So, Ryan, the space has been completely renovated. It looks totally different than what it looked like before. There's all kinds of things there now.
Yeah, in the planning process, you know, they added different landscaping. There's green space. There's park tables and benches that weren't there before. And there is also, you know, a cafe use that I think was designed to bring a little bit of activity there. They redid a fountain. They redid the head house itself. So it looks, you know, completely different.
For a park that had no one basically going to it, in 2018, we had 10.8 million visitors come through that park. Transit riders, kids playing in the fountain, people going to the ice skating rink. So it's a heavily used park.
So Ryan, last month, there was chain link fencing that went up around the site of the new Starbucks on Dilworth Plaza, which prompted some outcry from some residents. Why?
The tenant that was in the first cafe that they had on site had kind of outgrown its space. This is a Comcast subsidiary, Brulé Catering.
Brulé, who is our operator, has a right to operate something on that end. They have a license agreement, which they have with Starbucks to serve Starbucks coffee and other elements elsewhere. And they thought that was a good idea. We thought it was a good idea. And we understand that the Starbucks brand has annoyed or offended some people, but our sense is, given the 50 or other so of Starbucks around Center City, along with all the Dunkin' Donut coffee places and all the other private ones, that the market will more than absorb that, and it will be a very nice amenity, and those people who dislike Starbucks don't have to buy there.
Underneath all of this, I think, is the need for the district to get closer to making the park kind of revenue neutral, to not be costing them more money than they are making in the park itself. So this was, you know, a small piece of that.
What we said from the beginning is the CCD's assessments, which are property owner paying for the cleaning and safety and the landscaping in the downtown, the lighting that we've installed, would also stand behind these parks. But we wanted to try to generate within these parks activity and revenue.
If the public doesn't like what CCD is doing, if they don't like the new Starbucks going in at Dilworth, how do they complain? Do they get a say in this process?
What Levy would say is that
the first thing we had to do is take those plans in front of the Art Commission. That was a duly advertised public hearing of the city at which the plans were presented, and they were written about modestly, I think. Not hugely, but they were written about, and there was commentary then.
You know, none of it was done in secret necessarily, but I think that, you know, if you're coming at it from the perspective of somebody who uses the park, you're just seeing the fencing going up and you're saying, well, what is this? And I didn't go on the Center City District website. I didn't see the plans. I don't go to, you know, these rather obscure municipal board meetings and sit in on the process of hashing this out in front of the Art Commission.
So, Ryan, if people wanted to get involved, how do they organize?
Well, I think part of the problem is that right now there's not a great way to do that. And so we interviewed Seth Grossman, who is an expert on business improvement districts, a guy who consults for business improvement districts like the Center City District. We asked him, you know, what are some ways that you could improve a public process like this?
Sometimes you have to create a forum or an organization. Maybe it's time to have Friends of the Park organization and have a process about that, even if it starts with two or three people, so that there's a recognized sort of organizational entity that's representing the community at large.
So how does Paul Levy defend CCD leasing out public spaces generally?
Well, I think Levy's perspective and the Center City District's perspective is that they have brought nice things downtown, that the park is nicer than it used to be, but that costs money.
If the city budget was going to support that and not fund schools or not fund police or not fund sanitation, we wouldn't have to be doing what we're doing. But we recognize, everybody in the city recognizes, given a 26% poverty rate, that this city budget is incredibly challenged.
And that was why they invited Center City District to manage some of the stuff, why they created a lease that gave Center City District the ability to make money off of, you know, public land, essentially. And that if you don't like those activities, then you come up with a way to pay for them.
So, Ryan, when it comes to the Center City District and what it's doing with its public spaces, how much is too much?
It's a debate that's worth having. I don't think that there is like a concrete answer. If you go to Paris or some other world city, it's not uncommon to see somebody selling coffee or beverages in a park. And I don't think most people think that that really diminishes from some of these world-class, you know, places. I think that for most people, there is an acceptance of some use in that park that is revenue generating, and that it can even have positive effects. It can bring people to the park, or it can give you something to do when you get there. But there is a line in most people's mind where it's too much, right? If you're putting up billboards on the side of City Hall and you've devoted most of the space for private events, at some point it stops being a public space.
I think there's a very reasonable debate to be had in this city about what's the appropriate degree of commercial activity, what's the appropriate degree of activation in a park. But I don't think anybody can debate that we need extra sources of revenue to maintain quality public spaces.
Where you find that middle ground, I think, kind of depends on having a public process of some kind, some interaction between the public and the Center City District. And I don't think you really saw that happen with this cafe, and that it kind of became a focal point for, you know, these much bigger questions around having a park like this in the middle of Philadelphia.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks for having me.
The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall, Shai Binyakov, and Alex Stern, under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. We had editing help on this episode from Plan Philly editor Ariella Cohen.
Our engineers were Al Banks, Charlie Kyer, and Adam Stanishevsky.
Special thanks to Ish Quintero, who created our theme music.
WHYY's news director is Eugene San.
John Musoni is assistant vice president of news operations.
Sandra Clark is Vice President of News and Civic Dialogue.
Tweet us at AnnetteJH, at Shai Binyakov, or at Alex Ray Stern.
Subscribe to the podcast and drop a comment.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back Monday.